message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. In every period of Israel's history, God has had in his nation a group of people, a remnant who believe on him. In these believers of the past, the purposes of God have been carried out. And in his believing ones in the present and future, he will yet work to accomplish his goals. In his broadcast today, A.J. Overton, our Message to Israel voice for the current series on the indestructible Jew, will tell of many who put their trust in the Redeemer of Israel and of those who did not. Mr. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. Today we consider the subject, the Jews and their promised Redeemer King. Two of the great covenants of God, one spoken to the patriarch Abraham and the other spoken to King David, pointed to the coming Messiah, respectively, as Redeemer and King. These covenants are recorded in the Tanakh, the Old Testament. God said to Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." The last clause of this Abrahamic covenant, "and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed," referred to that salvation which God would bring through the promised Messiah as the Redeemer. Centuries later, God made a special covenant with King David concerning his successor on the throne of Israel. "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever. Thy throne shall be established forever." This looked far ahead to the days of the Messiah, whom God would enthrone upon earth for blessing to all the families of earth. This everlasting Davidic dynasty could find its fulfillment only in Messiah as king. The Davidic covenant is basically a more detailed extension of certain features of the Abrahamic covenant, with the main provision that these covenanted rights now attach permanently to the historic house and succession of David. This assurance, embodied in this promise to David, came to be known as the sure mercies of David. These sure mercies of David became the burning light of hope for Israel in the context of national failure and calamity. David's sons might indeed forsake God's law. In that case, God visited their transgression with a rod of severe chastisement, and it happened over and over again. But God's covenant with David would not be broken. God declared through the psalmist, "I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me." Jeremiah linked this Davidic covenant historically to the promises made to the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is no doubt, as one reads the Tanakh, that these were understood in the literal sense. the expression, the sure mercies of David, is strengthened by some additional significant words later in the prophets, the tabernacle of David. The prophet Amos predicted the restoration of the kingdom to Israel in these words, "In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and will close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this." The prophecy of Amos unmistakably refers the term the tabernacle of David to a literal kingdom. The land of Israel will in those days become so fruitful and productive that the plowman will overtake the reaper. God declares through Amos, "I will restore the captivity of my people Israel, and they will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will also plant vineyards and drink their wine, and make gardens and eat their fruit. I will also plant them on their land, and they will not again be rooted out from their land which I have given them." Now who will accomplish all of this? The law, the prophets, and the Psalms give only one answer: David's greater son, the Messiah, who would be both Redeemer and King. The Holy Spirit, through Matthew, opened the New Covenant or Testament with these words, "The book of the generation of Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham." God thus declared that first, Messiah was come, the son of David, as king, to occupy the throne of David and reign over Israel and the nations forever. The king from heaven, whom God had promised to send, had arrived. Secondly, Messiah was come also as the covenanted Redeemer of Israel and all the families of the earth. The blessing was to come first to Israel. In praising God for the advent of the Messiah, Zechariah said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life." The first book of Moses, Genesis, records that in the Garden of Eden, the first promise of the Redeemer was given under the title, "The Seed of the Woman." The Christ, or Messiah, as the seed of the woman, would win the supreme victory over Satan on behalf of mankind. In the Abrahamic covenant, Messiah, as the seed of Abraham, would bless all the nations of the earth. And in the Davidic covenant, the Christ, as the seed of David, would build God's eternal house and kingdom, and his reign would know no end. The prophet Isaiah had declared, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel," that is, God with us. The angel Gabriel confirmed the Davidic promise to the son the virgin would bring forth. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Yeshua, Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Though born in Bethlehem, Yeshua grew up in Nazareth. For 3.5 years, Yeshua of Nazareth engaged in a public ministry demonstrating who he was. He presented himself to Israel as the promised prophet, priest, and king. God declared to Moses, "I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." Jesus declared, "I have not spoken of myself, But the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. As the promised king, he announced the kingdom to be at hand, for he had come. He stated the laws of the kingdom. He fulfilled the prophecy made by Zechariah in the Tanakh concerning the king. Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey. Jesus was also the prophesied priest, the Savior who gave himself as the substitutionary sacrifice for the nation of Israel and the sin of the entire world. Jesus himself prophesied, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The majority, including the religious leaders of the nation Israel, rejected him as the Messiah, as unbelief again prevailed. Yet we read, many believed on him. In every stage of Israel's history, God had reserved a remnant who believed on him. Even today, through this remnant, according to the election of grace, God's purposes will be carried out. For we remember that Yeshua was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. After Messiah's death and resurrection from the dead, he was exalted to God's right hand. He came first as the Lamb of God. He will come again, according to the Scriptures, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. To individual Jews and Gentiles, we may now proclaim the good news of forgiveness of sin and fellowship with God through him. The psalmist declared, "Blessed are all they who put their trust in him." Will you place your faith in him?
And now, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.